Okay, good morning. I have no relevant disclosures. As we all in this room know, childhood and adolescent obesity and overweight rates continue to persist at alarming rates. The Institute of Medicine and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend the routine tracking of BMI in all children and adolescents. One efficient way to do this is school-based BMI surveillance and screening. The intent of surveillance is to identify and track percentages of students in the population who are either obese, overweight, healthy weight, and underweight. While the intent of screening is to provide parents with personalized health information about their child. In 2002, Arkansas became the first state to actually legislate BMI surveillance and screening with results reported to parents. And then by 2005, 13 state legislatures considered mandating school-based BMI surveillance and screening, with two states enacting legislation. And by 2007, 11 states had enacted legislation. The objectives of our study were to evaluate the reliability of height and weight measurements collected by PE teachers in a school setting, as well as to highlight the issues and provide recommendations in providing reliable data for surveillance and screening of childhood and adolescent obesity. Our data comes from the Cambridge, Mass. Public Elementary Schools. In 1999, although Cambridge Public Schools had been collecting heights and weights for 20 years before that, they had established and automated an annual BMI surveillance and screening system for all of their students in K to 8th grades. There are 12 elementary schools in this system with about 4,000 students and who represent a very diverse student body. The Cambridge BMI surveillance and screening protocol starts with a mandatory 3-hour anthropometry, data entry, and sensitivity training for all PE teachers in the school system at the elementary level. They then collect heights and weights during PE class time each spring. They record their measurements on pre-formatted data collection sheets or on scrap paper. And then they enter these measurements into a standardized Excel spreadsheet. These spreadsheets, which are each school has their own spreadsheet, they're pre-programmed to indicate when implausible height and weight values have been entered and to automatically calculate the BMIs and BMI for age percentiles. The school nurses then review all of the height and weight data classified on students classified as either underweight or obese to check for inaccurate measurements or entry based on their knowledge of the students. Finally, health and fitness progress reports are sent home to all families. We conducted this study in 2007, so the results of the surveillance that year showed that 16.6% of students in the Cambridge system were overweight and 17% were obese. We used two studies to analyze reliability. We first looked at reliability in a controlled setting to assess inter-rater reliability or reliability within each PE teacher rater, as well as inter-rater reliability or reliability between the PE teachers. We then also looked in a natural classroom setting to assess inter-rater reliability between the PE teacher as well as an expert rater. We also assessed barriers to reliable measurements in the PE setting by conducting a PE teacher survey as well as doing field observations. In our controlled setting sample, we recruited a purposive sample of 15 students. From a mandatory PE teacher meeting, we randomly selected 6 teachers, although one declined. We then, on collection day, set up a station with a stadiometer and digital scale per rater. The student participants then rotated among the stations in a random order. We did 2 rounds of measurements with raters blinded to results of the first round, and ultimately PE teachers ended up collecting 150 height and weight measurements that day. In the natural classroom setting, we recruited the 5 larger elementary schools, although teachers at one school declined participation, and we sent recruitment letters and informed consent home to all parents from these larger schools of students in grades 1 through 4 as well as 7 to maximize our range of body sizes. So finally, we had 4 schools and 8 PE teachers from these schools participating with 105 students, and as you can see, we had a low representation of students in the older grade. On data collection days in the natural settings, the PE teacher measured the students in 1 round, and then the expert rater measured the students in 2 rounds and was blinded to her first round of measurements. We looked at this data statistically using four methodologies. We looked at intra-class correlation coefficients. We looked at Bland-Altman or BA plots. We looked at mean absolute differences. We looked at mean ranges. And then we looked at the effect of measurement discrepancies on BMI and BMI for age percentiles. We identified four possible sources of reliability error. Errors happen right at measurement. There were a lot of equipment errors. There are some recording errors, transcription errors, and then data entry errors. The summary of the results of our study showed, according to the ICC statistic, all teachers did reliably collect height and weight data. Although our mean absolute differences and mean ranges, other than the height measurements in the natural setting, showed clinically intolerable values for height and weight in both settings, other than the natural for the height. So this is where we looked at the BA plots that we looked at showed five major outliers in the controlled setting study and one outlier in the natural study. So in the controlled study, the five outliers did change BMI percentile for age and changed weight status categorization. 1% of all of the weight measurements were outliers and 2% of the height measurements were outliers. In the natural setting study, we looked at the one outlier which did not change the weight status categorization. We also looked at the clinically intolerable values of 2 inches or greater, and none of these changed the weight status categorization either. So we looked at the health expert value measurements and looked at the overall weight status rates of the natural sample population compared to the PE teacher values, and the rates were exactly the same. So in our PE teacher survey, 68.5% of the PE teachers felt that measuring heights and weights was at least moderately important to child health. They felt that it was at least a moderately important job duty. 75% felt that training was at least moderately helpful, and all the PE teachers believed that they or felt that they were confident or at least moderately confident in getting an accurate measurement. And in terms of the difficulties identified by the PE teachers on these surveys and by our field observations, they turned out to be the same, so that's why I put them in one chart, was that there was student hair they felt often interfered. The data collection sheet, which is probably why they ended up using scrap paper, the boxes were really small to try and write on very quickly. There were equipment operation and issues, managing students while also trying in a class while also trying to take their measurement was difficult. There was student clothing interference. There were some time constraints. There were language barriers. There were some obstructions with the actual facility, as well as these others. So the limitations of our study are that raters used different equipment. This, therefore, introduced equipment error. There was selection bias may have also affected reliability estimates, as overweight and obese children seem less likely to participate, so we had a limited range of student sizes. And as I mentioned before, one randomly selected PE rater declined to participate in our controlled setting study. And then we did have a non-random sample of PE teachers in the natural setting study. We had a small sample size, and we realized that raters may be more conscientious or more nervous because of knowing that a study is going on. And we did not evaluate the transcription errors other than anecdotally upon when they recorded it and when they entered them. So in conclusion, according to the ICC statistic, PE teachers did meet acceptable criteria for intra and inter-rater reliability for both height and weight measurements. According to the mean absolute difference criteria, results were somewhat mixed because in our study, well, the weight measurements particularly did not meet acceptable criteria. And in our study, the weight didn't meet these criteria because of equipment error. Unfortunately, after the controlled study, we calibrated the scales, and we found that one scale actually had a 3-pound difference from the other scales, and we know that that scale was also used in the controlled or in the natural setting study. And then height in the controlled study was affected by outliers, which may have been measurement or transcription error, and anecdotally, we think that one of the outliers was because of inverting the numbers. More studies with larger cohorts of raters and students are needed to build our understanding of the strengths and limitations of using non-clinical raters. Collecting reliable height and weight data in a natural setting is hard because of all the sources of error that must be overcome in addition to simultaneously running a class. According to the ICC statistic, PE teachers, so interpreting this data, we believe that it may depend on what you're using it for. If you're looking at surveillance, in our natural setting study specifically, the outlier and clinically intolerable values did not affect weight status categories for our study group. For the screening in our studies, the clinically intolerable values, and particularly the outliers, if left in the data set, would have led to inaccurate information being sent home to some of the students and their families. Therefore, higher reliability standards are probably important when using individual level data to send personal information home to students and families. We therefore recommend to build checks and balances into the system, particularly if data are being used for screening. Maintain and calibrate equipment regularly and upgrade when necessary. Ensure comprehensive regular training. Conduct periodic reliability assessments and share your results with the raters. Notify parents to provide appropriate clothing for or hair for measurements. And provide help to teachers, and this can be done by using older students to play games with the students while the PE teacher is taking measurements, or with local colleges in the area, interns are often happy to do this. So we'd like to thank the Cambridge Public Schools, Marianne Capello from the Cambridge Public Schools, all of the participating PE teachers, students, and their parents or guardians, as well as members from the Tufts University School of Medicine. Thank you.
We have time for two questions.
I would say yes. I mean, I do think, especially in terms of surveillance. In terms of screening, I think that Cambridge schools have been doing this for a really long time, before all of the legislation came into play. And so they've been doing the training for all 10 years. I think it helps, but I also think the checks and balances are really important. We have a really standardized Excel spreadsheet separate for each school, and the outliers are caught right when you enter them into the Excel. Giant outliers are caught right when you enter them into the Excel sheet. Our nurses do look at all of the underweight and obese numbers to make sure that it matches with what they know of the student. So I do think the answer is yes, as long as time is spent to build in checks and balances.
And are you willing to share your training in that Excel spreadsheet that other people do?
Probably. I'd have to ask the head of PE at Cambridge Public Schools, but the training, yes, we do the training. But the Excel spreadsheet, I'm sure he would most likely say yes. Sure.
Over here.
Well, actually, one thing I didn't mention is that school nurses sometimes help. Although, I mean, all this in the study, they sometimes help, sometimes they don't help. We also have interns that sometimes help. But I just think it was the way that it fell into the head of PE is a very proactive, reduced obesity person who wrote a PEP grant himself. And, you know, Cambridge had millions of dollars of PEP grants for nutrition and physical activity intervention. So because he's so active, I think is how it more fell into the PE teachers.
What was the website? www.achi.net, and it has the Arkansas training protocol on that website.
Thanks.
Our next speaker is Leslie Cunningham Sabo. She is from the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Colorado State University.